number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tomorrow, join us. We'll be out at Twin Peaks. You heard the man. Bucket location is where we'll be, guys, hanging out. Come get some Hey Man L and hang out and get ready for MLS Cup as well as the weekend. We'll be talking plenty about Falcons, Packers as well. It is Twin Peaks and Buckhead where the beer is ice cold. We're going to get to the dogs here in just a moment on the sidelines with the dogs. Did you come up with the poll question?
I did. About award shows, and the Heisman obviously is the big one. Is tonight the big one down in Orlando that ESPN does, Bo, with everybody else, like the Maxwell and the O'Brien and all that? It usually kind of coincides with Army-Navy weekend.
Yeah, but I thought they got moved here.
I don't know.
I think they moved it out of Orlando because of the College Football Hall of Fame.
I'm in the radio business. I should know this. Well, anyway, wherever it is, I hope they'll have fun. But here's a question for the Heisman, Carl. Tua, Kyler, or Dwayne? Tua Tagovailoa getting 32% of the vote. Kyler Murray getting 62% of our audience so far. And Dwayne Haskins from the Hairless Nuts, the Buckeyes, he gets 6%. You can make a case for all three.
You could. And that gets us to on the sidelines with the dogs. The dogs.
But there's a problem with somebody in a mouse right now. He had hit the button on the computer.
College football.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
You guys do realize this. Like, without the sounders, we can't operate. I mean, and, like, we will not move forward without the sounder. Stop the sounder right now. Stop now.
It's like Pavlov's dog. We cannot operate without the production element in the segment.
It doesn't move forward.
And Craig should know this.
Let's do it again. We are going on the sidelines with
the dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, see? That feels right, doesn't it? All right, either way, guys, we know what's going on with the dogs, and that is their preparation as they continue to get ready, and will get ready for Texas. We're going to break that game down seven ways to Sunday. Trust us. We're going to talk plenty about it as we get, you know, closer to not only the game, but in the next coming weeks. But, Mike, you know, everybody's wondering if the dogs will have this hangover right after the SEC championship game.
You mean like Alabama did against Utah and Oklahoma?
It's a valid question because you put all your energies and all year long, I don't care who you are, whether you're friends, family, this is all you talked about. You talked about getting back to have a shot at Alabama. You got back. You had the shot at Alabama. You were winning the football game, and then you didn't. And so now, going into this bowl game, you do not want to go into the Sugar Bowl and get embarrassed by Texas, okay? So, yeah, the hangover thing is possible, and that's what Kirby's tasked with now, Mike, is to get his guys ready, and there will be no hangover. Hopefully, they are able to move past this and focus at what's ahead.
Well, with the exception of the semifinal game, Alabama and Clemson, Carl, the Sugar Bowl is littered with SEC teams that just didn't put the passion, the work, the effort in, Carl. The excuses for Alabama fans is always, well, once you lost that SEC championship, half the team's going to the NFL, so we don't care. So take a look at this, though. Let me kind of run some names at you. Ohio State, they beat Bobby Petrino in Arkansas. Remember, that was the big win for Tressel. They lost so many big bowl games, and they couldn't beat an SEC squad. Louisville, with Teddy Bridgewater, knocks off Will Muschamp's Florida team. A Florida team, obviously, that was laden with a lot of guys that Urban Meyer had recruited, I should say. Oklahoma over Alabama, 2014. Ohio State over Alabama, 2015. Of course, championship semi. You got Ole Miss, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma beats Auburn. And then Alabama, as I just mentioned, beats Clemson. So point I'm getting to is a lot of really good SEC teams have lost in the Sugar Bowl.
So what are the dogs going to be doing to get ready for a Texas team that, you know, it's shown the ability. They did do a good job, Mike, of stopping and slowing down Oklahoma. Oklahoma didn't blow them out and certainly didn't score the points they did earlier in the matchup they had in the season with the Red River Shootout. But, you know, we'll say this. Listen, I think the Dogs just are a better football team. Now, you got to go beat Texas. But Texas has kind of been up and down this season. It's one of the reasons why they didn't win the Big 12, you know. There were a couple of letdowns. Defensively, they're okay. They're not great. And that's good considering Big 12 standards.
Yeah, I really think that, and that's what makes it so frustrating for dog fans, because you feel, again, with the way Oklahoma's not playing defense, if you had rematched with Oklahoma, you might have probably rematched similar game plan and score to what you saw in that Rose Bowl, although that's one for the ages. Georgia, an 11-point favorite, Carl, against Texas. The over-under is 58, so expecting somebody to get in at least into the 30s in this one. But he just, even if Georgia, let's say there was some look ahead, only five seniors, by the way, on the team. You know, I think if Kirby can get this message, driven through, they want to make a statement that they deserve to be in that Final Four, then, I mean, if just based on talent, they should beat Texas by two touchdowns.
It is Dukes and Bell. Guys, it's On the Sidelines with the Dogs, brought to you by our friends at Breadbox.
Breadbox Electrical, 770-901-2500. The elevated electricians, call them today.
All right, let's talk about this Heisman Trophy situation. It'll be given away this weekend. And Mike and I always have this conversation about this time this year because I feel like, Mike, I don't want to say the award's been devalued, but I do feel like over time that we as a society and certainly college football fans maybe don't pay as much attention as we used to the Heisman Trophy. And I think there's a lot of factors into that. But it doesn't take away from the fact that it's still given out and it's still allegedly given to the best player in college football. So then I ask, who is the best player in college football?
Well, from an Ohio State fan, he says, if you look at the Buckeyes' defensive issues for much of the season, which we talked about, that was a major problem for them, because plus their poor running game. Buckeyes did not run the ball, Carl, the way that Urban Meyer wants to.
No.
Tom reminds us that it's a miracle they went 12-1. He said that miracle's name is Dwayne Haskins, who made all the throws. And, yeah, I know everyone, they all look terrible against Purdue. But, I mean, you could make the case. I know we don't really like the Big Ten as much down here, but I still think you could make a three-way tie for these guys, and everyone is deserving.
So, Tua Tagovailoa, for Bama fans, and we don't hate Bama. I know that's your census there when you hear us talk about Bama. But Tua had an amazing season. There's no doubt about it. Threw for over 3,300 yards. Again, 37 passing touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Okay, that's unbelievable numbers. And the 4 interceptions came really late in the season because at one point, as I said, he had 26 or 27 touchdowns with no interceptions. But, Mike, the thing that stands out to me for Kyler Murray, okay, and Dwayne Haskins, quarterback for Ohio State, is they threw the ball a lot more than Tua. All right, Kyler Murray threw it 340 attempts compared to 294 to Tua, and Haskins threw it 496 times. So, again, the more chances I put it in the air, obviously, the more chances something's going to happen that's not good. With that said, both of these guys had over 40 passing touchdowns. Dwayne Haskins, 47. He only had 8 interceptions all year long. Now, you know I'm the last guy to be telling you Ohio State this or that. I'm not cheering for it, but you got to respect it. Haskins has the numbers to win this award, but I also think that Kyler Murray with his legs, Mike, 892 rushing yards compared to 190 by Tua and 122 compared to Haskins. That's the dividing factor for me because he affected the game with his legs as well.
I mean, I'm telling you, bro, you start to look at the numbers and you go back and you look at some of the tape. Yes, we got two teams here that aren't as complete. And if you have two teams that aren't as complete, Carl, and you got all these other guys in the that are going to the NFL in Alabama and all the big studs on both sides of the ball, does that not that it devalues Tua, but does it make what the other guys did a little more important to the Ohio State fans at point?
It does. I think because now you're talking about compensating, right? That's what you're saying.
Because the problem with the Heisman is there could be somebody we're not even talking about who played on a team which maybe didn't even win 7 or 8 games. You know, linebackers, they got no shot at the Heisman. Mm-hmm. Defensive ends, when they have great years, shut down corners. You know, guys, you got to go back. I mean, those guys in the last couple of years don't even get a chance to get to the table. It's all quarterbacks and running backs. So that's my beef against these kind of shows. But you could make the argument. Now, I got a couple of years. Let me throw some years at you where you had 3 quarterbacks, Carl, as the 3 finalists.
Okay.
2016, Lamar Jackson beats out Deshaun Watson for 2nd place. Mm. And Baker Mayfield came in 3rd. 2013, Jameis Winston over A.J. McCarron, kind of considered a game manager, right?
Right. Yes.
Jordan Lynch was at Northern Illinois, I guess. Then I got 2008, Sam Bradford over Colt McCoy, 2 guys from the Big 12. Tim Tebow in his follow-up to the Heisman finished in 3rd place that year. The other problem with the Heisman brother is sometimes it's all about their years that you've accumulated as opposed to an individual season. See Eric Crouch. Mm. It's kind of like the Gold Watch Award like they did for Ron Dane at Wisconsin, a year that I've always said that Joe Hamilton was arguably the best college player in the year. So, again, the moving target is also an element to this.
What do you guys think? 404-741-0929. It is subjective, but I also think when you compare these 3 players who are going to be there in New York, that the numbers are comparative. I don't think you could, you know, dispute that. But I also think the hardest part about this award is truly saying this guy was the best player in college football. Because to Mike's point, I saw a couple other guys that I could easily throw into this conversation, and you may or may not disagree, but the numbers don't lie. And so that's the thing. I think, Mike, these are 3 prominent programs. You're talking about Alabama.
Right.
Oklahoma guys, they've had 6 or 7 Heisman winners, okay? Ohio State. That helps, too, because, again, a lesser program always doesn't get recognized. And every year we're talking about guys who put up great numbers and, oh, he should be at the Heisman, and he doesn't get invited. because this program is not Alabama or Oklahoma or, for that matter, Ohio State.
So what do you guys think? Is it a legitimate question as far as, like, for instance, you know who Jonathan Taylor is?
Yes, I do.
He rushed for 1,989 yards.
Beast.
You know, but I know, and I know we don't respect the Big Ten as well as they do around other parts of the country here in SEC land. I mean, as Trevor Lawrence grew on the job, was there anybody more important for Clemson than Travis Etienne and the way he ran the ball physically? I'm saying you could make arguments for some of these running backs in addition to just quarterbacks. And why is it just three guys of all the dudes that are playing football this year?
Well, that's the thing. And we always say this, too. I mean, shouldn't defensive guys get in this conversation? Shouldn't there be a couple of defensive players that are in this conversation every year? And it's like, oh, well, no, they, you know, you have to be, mm-hmm. you have to be a return guy slash DB,
right.
you know, slash quarterback to be involved in this conversation. You can't just be a pure defensive back or linebacker to be involved.
Because I get it, for defense, they've got all those, the Bednarik and for offensive linemen, you've got everything from the Lombardi.
But it's the best player. Yeah.
But again, the best player, you got the Maxwell, the Davey O'Brien. So I'm the same, but you, full disclosure, I'm the same way about the Oscars. Because to me, it's
are
like,
you?
Yeah, I mean, how can you say one actor was better than another actor when these guys are all at the best at the top of the game? Subjective, man. That's it. But that's me.
It is.
So, all right, I'm putting a gun to your head. Who's the guy?
Kyler Murray wins it.
I got Kyler Murray, too.
Kyler Murray wins it. And by the way, I was all Tua up until about 3 weeks ago. Seriously. I think Kyler Murray exceeded what Tua did, and now his team's in the college football playoff. The kid was spectacular. Oh, by the way, if you hadn't heard, he's already been drafted. He's going to Major League Baseball, Mike. He's not going to play in the NFL.
Although he did say in an interview that he is considering now more options. Don't limit yourself, son, and get more money out of the A's if you can.
Yeah, man, I go MLB. Hey, Brian Billick's going to join us, former head coach of the Ravens. Of course, he's a Super Bowl champion, and now with NFL Network, we'll get his thoughts on what's going around, going on around the NFL next. It is interesting to see all the comments coming in after our discussion about the Heisman. Appreciate all the input. A couple of guys hit us up on Twitter. Brad Sparks, one of them, saying Dukes, Bell, Tua. He hardly played in the fourth quarter, guys, in most games, so he would not have the numbers that other quarterbacks put up.
Yeah, but that's part of the argument we're making, because you're not playing with that great Alabama defense on the other side that you've got to play four quarters. And our buddy Greg, who's a referee here in town, and he says, look, you take Kyler Murray off Oklahoma, they might not make a bowl game this year.
Yeah.
And then you look at all the touchdowns, if you add them all up. Dwayne Haskins, he's got, wow, that's like, I went to Florida State, carried the one. 55 touchdowns. No, hold on. That's a lot of touchdowns. He's got over 50 scores between his arm and his feet. I know we don't give the Big Ten the respect around here, but I still think Kyler Murray is the guy, because you take Tua off, Jalen Hurts goes, wins more games for you, too, at Alabama.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I still think
– not to disrespect Tua, because we know how good he is, but I'm just saying they've got a machine right there in place.
Well, right. I mean, we've always known the defense has always been pretty stout, right? I mean, are you telling me Alabama doesn't win 10 games without Tua this year? Let's just say Jalen Hurts was a starter again. Yeah. I mean, it's like we forget he took him to a couple of national championship games.
You put
games.
Kyler Murray on in a Tide uniform.
So, yeah, I'm not going to buy that with Tua just because of
why
the
do you hate Alabama?
I know, you're asking. Because Alabama, or should I say that Tua didn't play a lot in the fourth quarter. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to our man, Brian Billick. Coach Billick will join us from NFL Network, and we'll get his thoughts on a variety of things going on around the NFL. What do you think the Packers do? If you're the Packers, do you go after Harbaugh? Do you like that move?
You know, it's strange because the work is not complete at Michigan, but that's a Michigan problem. That's not a Green Bay problem. He's a great NFL coach. Didn't win a Super Bowl, got a team 2-1, played in the NFC Championship, made the most out of Colin Kaepernick, really had things cooking before the injuries and, you know, just guys walking away ruined what the 49ers had. I mean, I would roll the dice on Harbaugh. I mean, you know, you're getting an ego there, so you got to make sure the general manager can deal with him because he fancies himself a personnel guy a little bit.
Let's talk to Brian Billick about this. And, Coach, good to have you back on. Mike and I are discussing, you know, Harbaugh and the rumors, if there are any. If you're the Packers, do you contact Harbaugh at Michigan?
Well, that'd be an interesting one. You know, the Packers are a unique team just in terms of where they are, the structure they have, the ownership structure, the history that they have. The last time they were down this path, they reached out to Mike McCarthy, who had been with them before, all but for 1 year, with Ray Rhodes. He'd gone on to some other teams from that point, but they had a familiarity with him, and they reached out to the offensive guy. Remember, it was kind of odd that he was with the team that bypassed Aaron Rodgers and took Alex Smith in San Francisco, and then they hire him, and now he comes back and he picks up Aaron Rodgers. So kind of an interesting scenario. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of names. It's going to be a coveted job. Anybody that can go to a team that begins with Aaron Rodgers, is that's a pretty good job, not the least of which this is the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, Jim Harbaugh, I think the mentality, the bravado, the Midwest kind of, yeah, I can see that being a decent fit. You're exactly right when you said this is, you know, ownership or management need to be have a clear understanding of what they're getting in for, because Jim, you know, he's going to do things a certain way, and he's going to have a certain bravado about him and a certain way he's going to want to get things done. So they need to be, you know, eyes wide open, so to speak, if they make that kind of hire. But, yeah, I can see that being a good fit.
It's Brian Billick with us, guys. He joins us each week to talk some football, brought to you by SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com for tickets. Use the promo code Billick. Save $20 off your first purchase. Coach, when the leadership thing comes up, here in Atlanta leadership, there's people taking shots at Aaron Rodgers for maybe the lack of accountability in Green Bay. You ever have to deal with that in the Ravens, or did that police itself with guys like Ray Lewis in that locker room?
Well, and it's interesting to hear the post comments Aaron's talking about. Yeah, you need to call me out. My guess is that wasn't the issue. The issue, I'm reading between the lines here, I have no idea what the issue was, is that Mike maybe wasn't holding the defense accountable the way the offensive guys thought the defense needed to be accountable. Anytime you get into that atmosphere where it's offense, defense, you're playing well, we're not playing well, you know, that's an issue. The thing I'm most proud of in our 2000 Super Bowl team, when offensively we really struggled for a while, we went 3 games without scoring an offensive touchdown. That thing could have fragmented, and the way we held it together, when I say we, yeah, it does have to kind of come from the locker room. We had some great veteran leadership, whether it be Ray Lewis, Jonathan Ogden, Shannon Sharp, Trent Dilfer. They kind of held that together amongst themselves, not letting one side turn on the other. If you don't have that, yeah, the coach can try to do those things, but that's a tough task.
What do you think about the timing of firing Mike McCarthy?
That, you know, we certainly are used to coaches being fired during the course of a season, particularly late in the season. What is unique about it is, one, it's the Packers. They're just not a team that typically has done that. And two, the fact that it was a Super Bowl winning coach, that it had a great run of success, 9 out of 12 years in the playoffs, something like that. That's what made this so, I guess, interesting, for lack of a better word. Other teams have certainly done it, but it's not typical of what the Packers have done. And I guess anytime a team does that, my question is, okay, well, what are you trying to accomplish here? What do you think the outcome is going to be? You think you're going to make the playoffs now?
Right.
Well, that's just not going to happen in Green Bay. All right, if it's okay, it gives us a chance to get a run up on some of these other coaches to clear the decks, to allow us to talk to a Jim Harbaugh. Let's feed into that conspiracy theory. A little bit more, you know, okay, at least now there's a reason why you did it when you did, because you didn't want to wait or disrespect Mike by waiting into January, and now maybe you've missed that cycle. Maybe Harbaugh is entertaining offers or something. I'm manufacturing this whole thing. But you have to ask yourself, why are we doing this when we're doing that? And I'm not sure those answers are clear-cut in Green Bay.
Super Bowl winner Brian Billick with us. I brought you by SeatGeek.com here on the WadeFord.com hotline. The Carolina Panthers, man, they were on a roll for a minute, and now they're hemorrhaging, and they're firing assistants. Now there's trouble for Ron Rivera. Cam's not healthy with his shoulder. He says he can still throw. What do you make of them?
Yeah, not a good scenario. You know, when you start making those kind of changes with your staff, that doesn't bode well going forward. And the owner is making comments about they're not sure they're using all the assets they have, and with the digital stuff and whatever. Yeah, it just doesn't sound good. And there again, Ron Rivera, he's been there a while. You know, the legendary Bill Walsh firmly believed you could only be in a place for about 10 years. And after that, it just, you know, between management and the fans and the media and the players, and the proverbial the message gets stale and all the cliche things you want to throw out there. Yeah, you can see in Carolina, particularly when things aren't going well, where you can see this thing cascading a certain way.
Brian, what do you think about our Falcons? We were talking about the idea. It was thrown out there, you know, we're 4-8. We got 4 games left. Matt Ryan just signed a long-term extension. He's about to make $30 million. We want to preserve our quarterback. And the idea was, all right, well, then why don't you just sit him for these final 4 games? And people are like, there's no way. You can't do it. Have you been in these losing situations, and have players come to you, or have you guys even considered as a staff, hey, you know what, we're not going to play this guy the remainder of the season?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you get to the back end, I've never with a quarterback like that. If I'd had a quarterback like Matt Ryan, I wouldn't have been in that situation when he got fired.
right.
But, you know, and it's not, and obviously you talk about the quarterback position, it brings it into sharper focus. Yes, when you get on the back end of a tough year, you have some players that sometimes it's decisions that you're not even a part of in terms of the player deciding, yeah, you know what, I'm beat up, I'm sore, and all of a sudden they start showing up on the injury report a little bit more, and the nature of the injury that if you were in the thick of it, maybe they would have fought themselves through it, took themselves through it. That now it's going, yeah, you know what, now discretion is the better part of valor. And quite frankly, from a business standpoint, looking forward, and particularly if it's a star player, it's not a bad thought, you know, the wear and tear that you're going to take. Now, the competitor, the league, the competitiveness in the league, this is not something that you're going to talk about. It's not something you're going to push out there and say, oh, no, we're done, so all these guys are going to sit down. It's not a conscious thought or something that you're going to verbalize, because I don't think the league wants to go down that path. Teams don't want to go down that path. But at the end of the day, is that a thought process for some players? Sure.
Because needless to say, you got to put fannies in the seats. We got one more home game, and that would be a ghost town down here. Brian Billick brought to you by SeatGeek. Guys, use the code Billick. Save $20 off your first purchase for tickets, concerts, you name it. They got it. Coach, before we let you go, Patrick Mahomes could be MVP, Todd Gurley, this or that, but they lose their star running back over the situation off the field. Who do you like in the AFC? We were making the case that the L.A. Chargers that nobody's watching are really playing well.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's a big hit for Kansas City. I think they're going to be fine with it. You never can eliminate the Patriots, but, yeah, you've got some interesting teams there. The one that interests me the most is down in Houston. They just kind of snuck up on this 9-3 record now, playing extremely well, both sides of the ball. The Chargers are for real. That was a signature win for them in Pittsburgh to say, yeah, we can go on the road, because they're going to get that fifth seed. You know, Pittsburgh's got to regroup. They're certainly capable of doing that. Baltimore's got a big game against Kansas City. I tell you, the other team, and obviously Indianapolis and that whole thing, the team that's really interesting to me, they're down the line here a little bit, the Denver Broncos. When you look at their schedule and who they're going to play in San Francisco and Cleveland and Oakland, they end up with the Chargers, who may very well have already had their seating fixed by that last game, so they may not play all their guys. Right. They got a little bit of ways to go, or they're all, you know, looking for that sixth seed. But sitting there at 6-6, the Denver Broncos with their schedule, this could be a team that you need to keep your eye on.
It is Brian Billick, guys, joining us here again. Make sure you check out SeatGeek. Mike and I have both used it. And make sure you get the promo code. It's Billick at SeatGeek.com for $20 off your first purchase. Coaches, you know, we look at these playoffs, and it's interesting. We've seen, you know, New Orleans up close and personal, and then you watch the Rams. It just in the NFC, I think playing New Orleans at home is obviously the key. If they are at home, they're going to be tough to beat. But who do you see potentially coming out in the NFC? Because everyone thinks that it's going to be the Rams.
Well, and the Rams, yeah, and for good reason, they're playing well. It's going to be back and forth, and you're exactly right. They're going to play it to the end, because that home field advantage, to have that championship game be in New Orleans or be in L.A., is going to be huge. You know, you have some teams that are playing some interesting football. Seattle looks to be a team. They're going to end up being on the road. They're not going to catch the Rams. They're like the Chargers. They're going to be pretty much set for that fifth, maybe the sixth seed. Now, they got to finish this thing out, but you kind of like their schedule. And in the AFC, you know, or the NFC North, or excuse me, East, I mean, who knows? 9-7 could very well win that thing.
Right.
It just comes down to who, you know, who and where, who had the 9 wins and who had the 7 and who was it against. Minnesota, the NFC North, is obviously scrambling around as well. So Philadelphia is in the heart of that. So this is, you know, some interesting teams. I don't know that any of them can really, even though Dallas is playing well right now and defensively they look pretty good, I don't know that any of those teams can muster enough to go on the road, particularly when they've got to lead it up to it, either the wild card route or obviously to start out that way, to end up in New Orleans or L.A. That's going to be a tough task, because those two teams seem to be as complete as anybody.
And that's what makes it so frustrating for us, Coach, without the injuries. I mean, could have been in that wide-open mix in the NFC. Always appreciate the time. Brian Billick from SeatGeek. Have a great weekend.
Sounds good.
All right, guys, coming up, we got Yeah Man, No Man, Falcon Report on the way, the latest with Julio. We'll talk more about Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan, and also big soccer guest in the 5 o'clock hour on the way.
Time for Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell.
Come on, this so you can get with that.
We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Is today's question number one.
All right, let's get to it. Yeah, man, no man. Falcon Report on the way as well. What you got, Bo Morgan?
So I know that he's gone on some rants before, and he being Mike Leach, and I know that he's went on some playoff rants before, but I'm not sure if it's the latest, but it's the latest I've seen, and Mike Leach went on an extended rant about how we just can't get the system right in college football, and it sounded something like this.
College football says they scratch their head and they give a really befuddled, mixed up look, and they get a really screwy expression on their face. Like, well, how can that possibly be? I mean, how can we do that? I mean, how is it possible that you could actually have a playoff format in college football? Well, gee, I don't know. Let's start with we can go down to the local city park, and I'll bet you somebody that handles youth football could tell you how to do something like that. Okay, how about high school from a major state? Let's say Texas, Florida, or California. Let's see how they do it. But they don't have just two or four teams or something. Hell no, because they want everybody to have fun and enjoy this playoff system. In the end, there's occasionally a debate. If only this team hadn't lost to that team in this round, then this team could have won the whole thing, and that's perhaps true. But the thing that is indisputable is that at the end of the gauntlet, this team came out on number one, and there's no debate whatsoever.
He's right, by the way. For everybody who always says this is brain surgery, it's not. The presidents, the athletic directors, the folks with power, Mike, who could obviously change the system. And if the conversation started tomorrow, guys, we could have a playoff expansion next year if they wanted it.
Right.
They don't want to do that.
Now they got their money. And but don't forget, guys, nowhere on this trophy that will be awarded for the college football championship, you see the letters NCAA. Think about that. There's a private holding company, marketing company, which put this together. I mean, it's all about the dollars, man. But anyway, Squid, is there a yeah, man, no man question? Because, yeah, man, I'm agreeing with Mike Leach is selling. I love that guy.
Yeah, I'm with Mike Bell on this. Is there a question?
Next question.
You know what? There will be.
Took my stager away. That was so awesome. That got cleaned out of the system.
I do things around here.
How do we lose all the funny stuff out of the computer? Who are these people making these decisions, Carl?
Craig used to have a thing that said, "What's the question?"
Intercom North. That's who's cleaned out all our stuff.
So the question is there a college football coach you'd rather have a beer with more than Ooh. Mike Leach?
Well, I've already had a beer with him, so I can't answer that question.
More than Mike Leach. Leach is cool, people. Let me think about this. Somebody that would be entertaining. I'll be honest with you. I would not mind having a beer with Coach Saban. I think just sitting and having a conversation with Coach, not about football, just right. Everything else would be very fun.
Well, I don't know if he's drinking now because his body is a temple, but, you know, Herm Edwards is always a blast to hang out with. We got a chance to hang out with him at the
True.
Super Bowl.
True.
I tell you what, well, Carl, you could probably say Tom Herman. Apparently, he likes the shoe shows. But
I knew you were going to go there.
The one guy I will say, and he's retiring, is Paul Johnson. I have heard a lot of things from people that have gotten to know Coach, and they say he's got a little bit of Mike Leach in him, where he can talk about anything at any point.
Oh, he's a really bright guy.
Give a really diatribe.
Nobody debates that.
All right, so I don't know if you guys saw this story. We might have dodged a bullet with Amazon not coming to Atlanta.
What?
Well, in an Amazon little factory or whatever, I believe 24.
By the way, this is Bo Morgan. This is a Kennesaw State Education.
Yeah, who cares about Amazon?
On Amazon, a little factory, whatever they do over there, cranking their stuff out.
Look, I did just enough at Kennesaw State to give them to hand me a degree, all right?
I hear you, brother.
And it took me like 6.5 years to do that. A robot tore open a can of bear repellent spray, which discharged the fumes inside of their little warehouse.
All right.
And 24 workers were sent to the hospital, and 54 workers experienced symptoms. Now, mind you, this was a robot at Amazon. Is Amazon really Skynet and the beginning of Skynet?
Well, I guess if the robots aren't careful, Bo, they could rip into anything. But, I mean, I'm guessing bear repellent is right up there with shark repellent. I guess it's pretty sturdy stuff.
They are aware.
No, because you know what happened is the box goes by and the arm hit the thing at the wrong time, and now the bear repellent sprays. Everyone's running for the hills.
Yeah, and it got in the HVAC system, right? Is that what the deal is? It got in the air vents?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, listen.
You still have to worry about any bears in there.
Yeah, great. To answer your question, which was, what was the question?
Is Amazon really Skynet?
Oh, Yes.
Is this the beginning of the end?
This is the beginning.
Machines thinking for themselves.
Yes, this is the beginning. Mike Conti had a story the other day about, what was it, holograms, remember?
Yeah, overseas. Over in China, they're going to replace a news announcer with a hologram.
Yeah, so this is the beginning of the end, absolutely. It's only a matter of time.
Well, Maximum Bob, again, he's our go-to guy in this stuff. Wall Street investment banker says that, what, in 10 years, there's going to be like a third of the workforce out of work?
What are all these people going to do, Mike? I got to be honest.
World needs bartenders.
The element of, like, the Tesla where you're able to drive, take your hands off the wheel, like, you know, you've heard these stories, people reading books and driving Teslas, and then they want to apply that to, like, 18-wheelers and also the drivers that drive all over the country. Right. I don't want to see that.
I mean, trucks, I'll believe that when I see it. I've seen those ads. I've seen the stories on Discovery Channel. No way, Jose.
I don't want to see that. Yeah. I don't want to. Can you imagine being on I-75 or 85? You look over, and the guy's eating a box of donuts while the truck's driving itself.
But it can work. You ever been on the tram when you're on the tram at Hartsfield Jackson? Nobody's riding that sucker. Mm. That's all automated, right?
Tell you what,
you look
man.
Down the track. There's another car. I mean, somebody's controlling it.
I'm more worried about looking over a red light and seeing Arnold on a motorcycle, and I'm getting my butt back to Kennesaw or Paulding County. That's where I'm going.
Yeah, man, no, man. Guys, Falcon fans, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcon game for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Mike Conti, Hugh Douglas, they'll preview the Falcons matchup to get you ready for some football. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. All right, you got one more question, don't you?
Oh, I got more. There's always more, Carl.
You don't need to know, Emery.
Have you guys ever bought anything counterfeit?
Yes.
Because I know I went to Panama City on a spring break in high school. I bought me a nice little watch, which was completely counterfeit. I bought it for like $20.
Swap me.
Well, U.S. Customs caught 9,000 counterfeit Nike sneakers in New York. And the agency said in a release, now the sneakers were somewhere around $1.7 million worth of value if they were real sneakers. So, yeah, man, no, man, you know, buying maybe a Christmas gift that's counterfeit for someone you don't really care about buying a gift, but you have to.
This is part of the dark web, okay? The counterfeit thing goes on in every industry. Every industry loses millions, in some cases, Mike, billions of dollars every year.
Right. Well, the Chinese pirate all our movies,
absolutely.
All that stuff. Gets
absolutely.
Done. Well, speaking of Chinatown, I'll be right up the street in New York tonight. You want a Gucci bag for Michelle? Or,
yeah, give me one, please.
Okay, Craig, you want $20? One for your harem?
Did it say Fucci? Is it Gucci?
Why is there only one C in Gucci? But no, I mean, you see those all over the place, man.
The Louis Vuitton bags, man, right. when they popped off back in the day, and I remember my sister's trying to get the bags, and she bought a knockoff. And she was like, and my sister's getting clowned by family members, like, everybody's going to be able to tell. You can't tell. It looks just like it.
It says Louis Vuitton.
from a distance, it looks just like it. No, it does not. That is not a Louis Vuitton bag, all right?
Well, that's why you got to be careful in the Bahamas. When we were in, I think it was Nassau, me and the wife, she was the girlfriend at the time, we were walking around. This guy goes, oh, you want purse? Come back here. We start walking down an alleyway.
Oh,
we walk in this little store. There's a dude selling drugs on one corner, and there's a girl getting her hair braided in the other, and there's purses all around. I said, get your blank, and let's get the blank out of here.
Yeah. Give me the drugs on the way out, will you?
But enough about what you can do in Atlanta Underground.
Yes, Bo. Good stuff, man. That's Yeah Man, No Man. We say Hey Man, which we will in a little bit.
All right.
Coming up, Mike, we got one of the best soccer, recognizable soccer players in our country coming
on. Yeah, from the U.S. Men's National Team, World Cup, tons of caps for the U.S., broadcaster, always a lightning rod. Always love when Alexi Lawless stirs it up. He'll be on the way. Plus, we'll tell you what happened today at Falcons camp.